Hey everybody, this is Steli from the Startup Chat, and this is the last episode during our holiday season, the special series that we're running on our most popular episodes at the Startup Chat. Today is going to be this is a classic episode even, one of the first, it's the third podcast we've ever recorded, and it was about freemium. It's a pretty heated discussion between Heaton and myself. This is around a time we didn't even know each other that well. This is like us having known each other for a few weeks before we started the podcast. And he felt very strongly about freemium in SaaS, and I felt very strongly in the opposite direction. And so this was made for one of the most entertaining, most raw, and still most valuable episodes based on all the feedback we've gotten. So I hope you're going to enjoy it. And after this one, we're going to get back into regular rotation. And next episode you're going to hear is going to be brand new again. So I'm super excited about that. Now, without further ado, I'll bring you the freemium episode. Enjoy.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers. Shut up! If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey guys, this is Steli and Heaton here at still the world's best business podcast until we have a better name or we decide to keep this one forever. I'm going to give a quick update on what's going on and then let's jump into the topic for today. So one interesting thing that's going on right now in my life is planning for a six-week speaking conference and traveling extravaganza in May. So in May, I'm going to be in Europe, Germany, Vienna, Austria, Turkey, Montenegro, and a bunch of other places. And just like trying to manage that and decide when I'm going to do what and how I'm going to be productive has made the last few days really painful for me.
Are you going with your family?
Yes, family is going to come too, but they're going to stay with our family in Europe while I'm doing all the speaking stuff.
Cool.
How about you?
So I'm Heaton, the other half of this podcast, or one quarter, depending on how you look at it. I just announced a few weeks ago that my co-founder and I have moved on officially from our last company, Kissmetrics. So we're working on our first company, Crazy Egg, and we're starting to build new software. So it's actually... The company Kissmetrics was about 70 people before I officially left it. I'm still on the board and still involved. And I haven't started something like a new company in a very long time. I'd say it's been 7 years. Kissmetrics was started in 2008. So I'm essentially starting a new company in a lot of ways. It is an existing business that my co-founder had called QuickSprout. And so it's been very interesting to start a company. And I'll give one tidbit that one of the most interesting things I noticed is we started the business with Slack, and there is literally emails like you could see the dust balls, cotton balls, mothballs, whatever you want to call it in email from that domain, QuickSprout, because nobody emails. Everybody Slacks everything. And so it's just a way different change. Like I'd usually get like even from like four or five people, 20 or 30 emails back in 2008. And now it's like no email about the company. It's all Slack.
Yeah, it's crazy. We use chat as well internally, and we almost never do email in the company, ever. It's nuts. All right, so let's talk about the thing we want to talk about today, which is freemium for SaaS.
Yep.
I'll give a quick backstory on why I want to talk about this today with you, is because Heaton has been pounding on me on the importance of free and freemium for SaaS, knowing that we don't have a freemium model at Close.io. And there's a lot in me that rebels against that you have to have a free version and all the other companies that do will kill you. So we've gone back and forth a little bit, and this is still an unresolved issue. I'm still thinking about it daily. You know, I haven't turned the corner yes or no, black or white on it. So I have the desire to talk more about this with you, and I thought might as well have other people listen and hopefully benefit from it.
Yeah, I have a desire to talk about this all day.
So... why do you think freemium is an absolute must? You said you would never launch a SaaS business again without a free plan.
So I'm pretty against dogma too. So so it's hard for me to say that I'd never launch a SaaS business without freemium. What I would say is in today's reality, I don't think it, for me especially, I don't think it makes sense to release a SaaS product without a free plan.
Why?
And it's a free forever plan. And The reason I say that is, and that also depends on the markets you choose, right? If you just choose an enterprise product, you can argue with me all day that like, it's enterprise, people pay. Then I'd argue with you about, well, there's probably ways you could do free without being freemium. So you could do open source stuff for free, because at the end of the day, you need end user adoption regardless for your business to survive. So if there's a trick to get that, that would be cool. And not even a trick, but like a method. I guess the reason I wouldn't launch without a free product in my SaaS business is because it's easier than ever to get somebody to try a product. And it's probably harder than ever to keep a customer. And a free product helps you make it even easier for them to try it. And I believe even easier for them to keep it and stay with it.
All right. So I agree with you on the first part, right? A free version of the product makes it easier for people to try it. Check. Cool. I'm good. I'm with you. But a free product makes it easier for you to keep a customer. You need to break that down for me. Because here's a little breakdown. I'm going to be really personal with Closeout, right? So we believe in money. We love money, right? There's not much to believe in. We just like it a lot. It's a personal thing.
Me too.
Yes.
I get that.
You do. And if you didn't, I would not want to have this show with you.
Yes.
But you do, and I know that, that you do. We have, you know, we have customers we love. And one thing that I'm worried about when it comes to attracting people on free, if it's not a super end consumer-ishy product like a Dropbox or an Evernote, right? Something that millions will use, and once they start using it, they're totally hooked, is that free sets the tone to a certain degree. Like if I start something on free and then it becomes really expensive, that's kind of a drastic change in our relationship that might affect the way I perceive it as an end user.
Yeah.
Also, free being one of the main benefits that attracted me to the product might be telling on what I'm looking for in the market.
Yeah.
And then once you know, why should I transition to paying if I can't keep looking for other free options and alternatives? There's some products that are just, you know, amazing in their lock-in, but I could name them like less than a hand. Most products, even when they're really awesome, they might have some things that are not perfect yet. And I'm wondering, when do you make that transition? How do you do that? Who is the ideal customer where freemium is best? Or do you think, let's take up the enterprise, but would you also for like the mid-sized businesses and small businesses, other than just professional prosumers, how do you think about like, why is keeping customers easier when you have a free plan?
Yeah, if they sign up for a free product, you have the ability to solve for things that you can only solve for in just a paid product once they've committed to agreeing to pay a certain price for it. So whether that's because they sign up for a free trial and they know that they have a certain amount of time, the time trials are a forcing function in products, and it's actually hard to get people back after they leave from a trial. Like, yes, there's a probably single digit percentage that'll come back in most products just randomly, like months later or something. What if you could just keep them the whole time? And they were at least, you know, getting your emails, and it was still a product-oriented thing and not like, I need to turn on my trial again or I need to come back. So I think – but that's a small percentage, right?
Yeah.
So the way I see it is if you design – it's all about how you design the free product. I wouldn't flippantly say make it up and just do it. This is not one of those situations. To me, this is like, can you be thoughtful about how you do free? So one way to do free is – get people who are barely ready for your paid product to start using a free version of your product so that they think of you before they think of anyone else in your market, right? And that could involve one seat in a sales CRM tool like yours, right? It could involve limited functionality that was very core though and got them integrated. For example, in a product like a lot of mine where you have to put a script on a website, getting them to put a script for free is a really powerful thing because everything else comes out of that. So if they don't have a script, they're not getting value from the product. It's like a gate in the product.
Yeah.
In your product, I would say if they're not putting their contacts in, I would say integrated with contacts, however you do it, they're not going to get value from the product because it's a contact system, right?
Yeah.
It's a contact manager at the end of the day. So what if you, with a free product, you could get them to put all their contacts in, as an example, or integrate with Gmail, authenticate with Gmail, you pull contacts in or something like that and give them some value to help them start understanding ideally what your core value proposition is. So if free can help you get people integrated and keep them around so that they don't have this pressure of a time trial, I think that you build a stronger relationship with them with less effort. So that way you can keep them longer. The other idea of free is like if somebody doesn't want to pay ever, if you can find a way to get a benefit from them. For example, if a CRM tool is powering email, all the free product says powered by close.io at the bottom. And you get this effect, obviously, of people discovering the product that might not know about it, clicking, and then maybe becoming customers themselves. So I think you have to be really thoughtful how you do it and see if there's any advantages like that that you can find.
Yeah, you make some good points. Interestingly enough, with the Powered by CloseIO, this is a side note, but still that I want to highlight. When we first launched CloseIO, during the trial, we'd have any email you'd send to our system that had like the Powered by CloseIO thing.
Yeah.
And then we got like consistently a large number of people saying, can you disable that so I can really start sending the emails? Because I don't want to send emails telling people, you know, Powered by CloseIO. I think even it was CloseIO sale, close more deals, make more sales. Maybe it was too aggressive of a messaging.
So imagine if you did that on a free product. People understand the trade-off.
Yeah.
They understand they get to use it for free. You get to brand their emails, and hopefully that keeps you around and keeps that free plan alive for them. And then the people that want to upgrade, it's like one of the easiest upgrades to remove Powered By. It's the most common upgrades in products that have a Powered By feature.
Yeah. All right. So how about, you know, what do you say to people that would say free is not really free because it's really, one, some people might think about like support cost of supporting lots and lots of people that are not paying in monetary ways. And the other one is just, I want you to talk a little bit about like free as in marketing. Right?
Yeah.
Thinking about free as part of your marketing funnel or your marketing activity.
Yeah. I'm going to start with the customer, right? So in a trial product, customer signs up, you give them a time trial. In your case, you're badass with following up and getting them to do demos and getting them to start using the product. I think you have a specific style of doing that. You guys probably have a very deliberate sales process being a sales driven company. And what happens when someone doesn't convert from a trial? They go away. They leave.
Yep.
And I think that that's a bad experience for the customer. It's just bad. It's like they put all this energy in. You put all this energy in, and then all of a sudden you let them go away. So a free product prevents you from having to let them go away. They can fall back on it. You can create a bigger top of funnel because free generally increases the conversion rate. If you have this Powered By like stuff, free brings you more users all the time. And then it's your job. And I think actually companies like yourselves that are really good at sales would benefit a lot from free. Because you're sitting there watching activity and able to target people based on their activity and show them the benefit of upgrading. And there's a lot of other tricks, like you don't let them get a feature unless they do a demo with you, if they're on the free plan and that's your process of sales. So I think there's all these benefits. The biggest one though for me is like every month, the amount of trials you have in a trial product resets essentially. Every whatever period. So if you have a 2-week trial or a 30-day trial, you have that 30-day window to convert all that cohort.
Yeah.
And then you start over.
Yeah.
In a free product, you don't have that. You've got the full user base. As long as you can keep them active with a good product, that goes back to the support thing you said.
Yeah.
I think it forces you to build the right product and focus on user experience versus just focusing on sales, for example. And if you focus on user experience, the theory is the experience will be better for free and paid customers. But my point was, basically, that when you have these free people using your product, you get to harvest that intent of them paying and them turning into a lead every month. And there's no resetting happening, except you might have a whole bunch of new cohorts of free users. Some of them might upgrade right away or want to talk to you. Great. But you still have this whole engaged user base that is continual and growing. And if you look at a lot of the fastest growing SaaS, it's free. So the new trend, so it's like free keeps coming back and forth. I think now it's here to stay. Just look at all the fastest growing SaaS and do the math, and it's like free, and it's freemium.
Well, is fastest growing the most important? Is it most profitable? The most badass? Like, there's many ways to kind of decide.
Yeah, my framework is if you've got a good product, it's your job to get as many people using it as fast as possible and seeing the value. And freemium is like the ultimate way to get that done. And fastest growing, I think it depends on what you're optimizing for.
Right.
For me, I'm always trying to make sure that I think I've learned to focus on making the right decisions early in a business and getting good at the things that matter earlier in the business than later and knowing what those things are.
You have personal experience with deciding against freemium.
Yeah.
And now looking back, you think that was the wrong choice, right?
Yes.
Why did you decide to move away from freemium?
We moved away from freemium because we didn't understand the long-term impact, but we really clearly understood the short-term impact. The short-term impact was more money faster. The long-term impact was less money long-term. Because of this effect, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't get that carryover.
Yeah.
We even did analysis on our free user base and realized that the more they used it, just like Evernote's come out and talked about this back in the day, the more they used it, the higher the conversion rate to paid. So that, and if you can build a product that has that kind of behavior, then you know that free will work for you.
Did you have a free trial? I'm assuming you did, right?
For
Kissmetrics, for instance?
Kissmetrics was very early access with thousands of people, but nobody paid.
Okay.
And then we moved over just to free trials.
Free trial?
Yeah.
Well, free trial is essentially a very small, tiny version of free, right?
I don't call it that. Okay. I think there's – I wouldn't call a free trial whether it's – there's two different types of free trials in my mind. There's time trial.
Yeah.
And there's actually usage-limited trial.
Yeah.
And then there's pure freemium, which is you could use it forever and you don't hit caps that limit your usage. So, for example, an analytics product, if you have free up to like – a million events or half a million events or 100,000 events, I don't consider that a freemium. I consider that a free usage trial. Because once you hit that cap, you have to pay.
Okay.
Right? And you cannot use it forever, technically.
Okay.
A time trial is the same. It's a time-limited trial, which is even more arbitrary.
Yeah.
Right? It's not based on the product.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's pure freemium, which I would call, you always have a way. Like, for example, in an analytics product, you can't delete events. Yeah, you can reduce the amount of events you track, but you're going to go past that 100,000 limit at some point, and then you're going to have to pay, or you have to make a go, no go.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, pay or don't continue using the product because you can't reduce it.
Yeah.
While Dropbox, I think, is more pure freemium because you could delete files and they're very easy to delete. That's your choice.
Yeah.
Right. And they've given you a great choice of inviting people to get even more. I think it's very important to go deep into making these distinctions and then understanding for your market, for your product, how can you make it work? So for me, I would have the discussion of how do we make it work instead of we're not going to do it.
Timing. Would you, if there's a small self-funded team, would you say do free from the get-go, although this is a more longer-term investment, which means less money today, or would you say get to profitability and then you can use this as a long-term strategy?
I think it's a very tough call. I think free takes time to get really good at it. So if you take that rubric, start from the beginning. If you take the rubric of we don't know if we can do free and make it profitable and sustain our team, then you start with paid. And then do free later. But I think one big lesson learned for me and our team is free takes effort. I think people are scared of the effort, to be honest. I think you're scared of the effort. You're scared of all these things like customer support and all these things. No, it's true. It's true. Like that, and I get it.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? I think more than anything else.
Now I know his trigger when I say he's scared.
Yes.
I love it.
No, I like it. So scared to me is a signal that I need to explore something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Same here. Yes.
So, you know, I think that more than, maybe I am scared, I don't know, but more than that emotion, it's, you know, to a big degree, it's never a change a winning team. What we're doing works, so do I really want to change it? And if I change, here's the thing, like when we have discussions about free, it seems that it's much more discussion being afraid to lose out on something than being excited about
gaining.
Yes. So from that perspective, we're not afraid of the work, or we're afraid of free being something important.
Is your product, do you charge for one seat? Do you have a lot of customers with one seat?
We do charge for one seat. We do have a good amount, but it's not the majority of our customers.
So if you lost all that revenue and made it free, would that hurt you significantly today?
No.
Okay. So those are the ways I think about it. Like, is there a way, like, for example, could you test free by giving it away to a certain segment with one seat for free, even limit the functionality more?
Yeah.
And just see like how that base reacts. Is there anything you could provide a single seat? You have just a per seat model, it's money for free.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious. Oh, I hire a new salesperson because I'm becoming successful. I need more clothes. I owe new user and new more money. Yeah. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
So.
All right. There's a lot. We could talk about this for hours, but I think that you made a lot of really awesome points.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that we recorded this, so my team is going to be able to listen to it. We might do a second one.
I'm good with that.
We might do a second one.
So what's your tip? We end with tips. So yes. He's got 30 seconds or so for a tip.
God damn it. I was not prepared.
I'll go first. So I have a tip. It's based on a tip from a book that I really love called 5 Elements of Effective Thinking. And the tip is whatever you think the opposite. And just explore it. Just entertain it. Don't be closed-minded to it. Just entertain it. Just a thought process.
Yeah.
And that's what we did today.
Yeah, I love that. All right, so here's my tip. My tip, one thing I do every year on New Year's is I try to take a snapshot of who I was and what I was believing in and doing a year ago. And if I don't think that some of these things were totally stupid, I get scared and I ask myself, why haven't I learned enough, why haven't I grown enough? So something that I try to do, I might invite you to do as well, is once a year to take stock and ask yourself if you've changed and grown enough. And one way for me to calibrate on that is to say, was there anything I believed and I did a year ago that today I think is totally wrong? Because if not, then to me, that's an indicator that I haven't
grown. You haven't grown.
Because I can tell you there were years where I looked back and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I was thinking that.
Yes.
Right? And then there are years where I don't have that strong reaction to anything. And those usually are the years where I didn't move as fast and grown as much. So one way of thinking of checking in if you've grown enough in the past 12 months.
I like it.
Awesome. That's from us. This is awesome.